TSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Friday's edition of To Every Man an Answer, and we're glad you've joined us as we always are. Looking forward to being with you for about the next hour as we get together, set this time aside to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, looking at current events from a biblical perspective, and also what we hear in church. Is it even in the Bible at all? And so if you got a question, and if you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, we'll do our very best to make it sense, because God's Word is true. And, you know, one of the things that oftentimes people say, well, the Bible's too hard to understand. Actually, it's not. In fact, it's the way things really are in this world. You know, the things in the world, the Bible says, are of darkness. And unfortunately, people love darkness rather than light. And so that, I think, oftentimes is why people are attracted to the things that really make no logical sense. How a man can go into a woman's bathroom. How we find the obvious things that are wrong with the world that could be fixed relatively easy, but it just doesn't happen. Why? Why does it do that? Well, because I believe, again, Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6. And truth is the opposite to deception. And when the world lies in deception, when you leave God out of your life, you find your life in that deception. And only God, a miracle of the Holy Spirit coming and living inside of us, as the Bible says, when we confess our sins, will ever change that. 8888-ASK-CSN is the number to call. If you want to be part of the program today, joining me today, Brad Dacus from Pacific Justice Institute, program that airs here on the weekend called the Dacus Report. And Brad, I'm so glad you're with us from PJI. Hi and welcome.
Oh, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be on the program. Thank you, Mike.
Looking forward to answering some questions with you. What's the latest in the crazy world of the lawyer world?
Well, I've got some good news. We're making a lot of progress in a new state of involvement, which is Louisiana. We had our attorney, Ron Hackenberg, appeared there and testified to help push forward strategically two bills. One bill is to allow the Ten Commandments to be posted in public schools, which is just a statement of our history, our heritage, of the foundation of Western law. And whether people agree with it or not, it's nice for them to understand where our laws come from, indisputably. And they go back to the Ten Commandments. The other is bringing in chaplains and allow chaplains to be brought into public schools for those public schools and school districts that choose to have those. Statistically, we know that they're very beneficial. They reduce suicide, teenage pregnancy, school dropouts, drug abuse, etc. So we know that, practically speaking, objectively, even if someone's an atheist, they can't deny the benefits, the clear benefits of having school chaplains. These two bills are looking very positive. We're working in about 17 other states, and this is just on the legislative side of things. We still have over 220 cases in active litigation, and I'm pleased to announce we just won one of those very, very recently. And we're very pleased about that. I believe it's in the state of Pennsylvania, if I'm not mistaken. No, I may be mistaken there. But anyway, it's back north, back east. And it was a great case for someone who had lost their jobs because of their religious convictions. And we decisively won that case. I'm very pleased.
So, again, if you have legal issues with unfair laws, I think Brad and PJI is a great place to call. Pacific Justice Institute. And Brad, I'm so glad you take time out of your extremely busy schedule to come be with us, not only from that biblical perspective, but also from that legal perspective as well as sometimes we all need. Well, let's go ahead and go to the phones. We have John on the line, Pendleton, Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Hello, Mike. It's me calling again. I wanted to ask a question. What is the biblical significance of the solar eclipse coming up Monday? I heard that it can be extremely bad.
I don't believe there's any biblical significance. Oh, well, the eclipse crosses over towns that have, you know, end time names and stuff. You know, I'll tell you, people will go to the moon. Oh, this starts the tribulation period. Complete bogus. Don't believe it at all. I don't believe that it has any significance at all. There has always been eclipses here on this earth since God made the heavens and the earth. So I don't see anything. Brad, how about you?
No, I don't. I know some believers have referenced Revelations chapter 6, verse 12, where it says, I looked and when he broke the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair and the whole moon became like blood. And then the stars of the sky fell into the earth. The fig tree cast unripe figs. And I mean, it goes on, but that's the sixth seal. That's very presumptive that we've already fulfilled, that the first five have already come to pass. We've had earthquakes. We've had eclipses. There is some interesting scientific information. I wouldn't say from a biblical perspective, just, you know, scientific correlations that with regards to, you know, the last big earthquake that hit the middle of the United States, the New Madrid Fault in the early 1800s. And we had the two X's, if you will, you know, 5 years apart. And then we had this big earthquake. What's interesting about that is that there's just no repetition, or there's no knowledge of any repetition of that scenario. As far as our recorded history of this nation. So it's really difficult, I think, for people to put their hat on a one-time correlation event without any repetition of that to show a trend or something that can be relied upon.
Well, one thing about this, we're not going to have to wait very long to find out whether something's going to happen or not, because comes down on Monday. But, John, I don't see anything in the Bible that lines up with this. The darkness that we find mentioned there in Revelation chapter 6 is a global darkness. I believe it's because of probably so much debris, ash, dirt in the upper atmosphere. It just blocks out the sun. I believe that's what that's talking about. I do not believe that's talking about an eclipse in any way, shape, or form, because as we all know, eclipses are only in a specialized area on a specialized track. And so where you may have, a swath 300 miles wide that may be in some way, visible and seeable for the rest of the world, it's not there. And so I've seen a lot of the prognosticators saying, oh, this starts the tribulation. No, it doesn't. It's very clear, the rapture of the church, where the church is in heaven. And right. Then we find the Antichrist going out on a white horse conquering and to conquer. Bow with no arrows. He initially goes out diplomatically. Then he goes out militarily, and that's where you get the fiery red horse and the black horse and all. And then we get into the next seals, which then we find a quarter of the world's population dying. Now, that's not happened. So people that say, oh, well, this is the sixth seal or the fifth seal, whatever, they don't know their Bible, and that's unfortunate. But, again, always remember the book of Revelation is written in order. So that helps a lot of us better understand it. And, of course, that's going to be a great comfort for people who accept the Lord during the tribulation, that you see the exact accuracy of the book of Revelation, because accepting the Lord, being a Christian during the tribulation will most likely make you a martyr with the Bible says, being beheaded. So, pretty tough. It's, as the Bible says, as Jesus said to the church at Philadelphia in Revelation 3, that God would keep us from the time that would come upon the whole world. And so, again, identifying with the church, is so important in these days that we live. John, I hope that helps.
Before you go on to somebody else, one last question. Has the United States turned their back on Israel, or things might just very well happen here now that they are coming against Israel?
Well, we absolutely see a real anti-Semitism coming out of Washington right now. Again, I am totally just shocked that you have the United Nations, Joe Biden, making demands on Israel for a ceasefire, and yet there's no demands on Hamas to surrender, who started the war. Now, remember, Hamas isn't just some people in a closet or in a basement someplace. That was the government that the Palestinians voted into office. You vote wrong, there are consequences. And believe me, America, our voting is going to have severe consequences if we choose wrong. I do not believe at the course we're on, with the leadership we currently have, America will exist as we know it in another few years. We're too far in debt. We have let our borders just be overran. We don't even know who now. Crime is widespread, and it seems that this political party is so soft on crime that they almost encourage it. In fact, they do. If you break into our country illegally, they give you $3,000 a month. Wow. You remember the old days, World War II, they'd have the airplanes flying over and the paratroopers would jump out with their parachutes and their Tommy guns and they would land. Well, they don't have to do that anymore. You just walk across the border and be rewarded for breaking into a foreign country. Isn't that amazing? No, we're being ran right now by traitors. There's no other way around it. Everybody knows it. And this is what's bad because, again, you see the banks talking about inflation and, it's going to come under control. It's impossible. Inflation will not come under control till we stop our insane spending. It's not going to come down. It's impossible. You have printing presses, printing dollars out of thin air. So all your savings, all your 401ks, all your retirement, any money that you've saved up in the bank to buy a house, evaporating as quickly as we're talking right now. And so when you realize how bad the spending spree is, vote for me, everything is free. Well, it's going to be a hard landing, America. And I'll tell you, I think this is what they've been wanting for a long, long time. So, John, hope that helps.
It really does. And I'm always watching Israel. It's going Amen. To happen something soon.
Yep. Yeah, that's God's time clock. And if you want to know what's happening in the world, look at Israel. And in particular, look at Jerusalem, as it says in Luke chapter 21. Stay on the line, John. Send you out some books, some DVDs. Thanks so much for the call. And with that, we'll go to DJ in Virginia. Hi, welcome.
Hello, sir. I would like to ask your lawyer guy and you, but mostly your lawyer man, does he foresee any of this finally going to the Supreme Court, any of the mess that, that's going on?
In which way? You mean with Donald Trump? Do you mean with spending sprees, taking taxpayer dollars and paying off people's student loans? What particular part are you asking?
Could somebody come up with one that, he's blatantly breaking the law by keeping the borders open?
Right.
Yeah, well, great question. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah. I think the big question that the court's going to be addressing is the extent to which the state of Texas and other states have, as a matter of right, and I do believe they have as a matter of right pursuant to the language of the Constitution, to protect their borders when the federal government refuses or fails to do so. That is something that I think the court will inevitably rule on and rule in favor of the ability for states like Texas to protect themselves. They have a fantastic governor being very assertive right now, doing all he can to protect the people of Texas and the rest of the nation. So I do believe that that issue will be brought before the court. As far as the Supreme Court goes, they are limited to some degree. So, for example, the extent to which the federal government and the president administration wants to just keep spending So to the extent to which the dollar collapses because we reach a certain tipping point where our national debt is such that the rest of the world won't buy our bonds, won't buy our T-bills, and then the dollar collapses. That's nothing. That's not the business of Supreme Court say, hey, that's the business of the executive branch in Congress to allow it with budgets that are just too large. Same thing with regards to border policy. There's a great deal of discretion with regards to that. Supreme Court can rule on some issues, like the ability for states like Texas to be able to protect their people from all the criminals, the drug lords coming in with fentanyl and hideous acts of sex crimes against children that's taking place because of it. Yeah, they can do that. And then, of course, as far as foreign policy, generally speaking, that's limited. Something else the court may be ruling on now that the Biden administration has announced that they're once again are going to try to finesse a way to take away student debt from all these students who took on these loans. They're going to benefit from their education. I'm not going to benefit from their education directly. They're going to benefit. And their cost was the loans they chose to take out. Well, Biden administration is going to try to say, basically buy their votes effectively and say, hey, you support me, and I'm going to make this happen one way or the other. The Supreme Court will probably that'll be taken up. The Supreme Court will probably rule on that. There's a good chance they'll find it to be an unconstitutional use of powers by the president. But we'll have to wait and see how that turns out.
So I hope that helps.
Yes, and can I give all of us a little bit of good news today? Here's the thing. There was a lot of chatter about Happy Resurrection Sunday. Well, guess what? That's a perfect way to say it all year. You don't have to say Sunday. You have to say Happy Resurrection, because a lot of people are very upset about that latest. And number two, I loved it. This one guy said that what you need to do is go up to somebody and say, Happy Heathen Day. And obviously you'll get a reaction. And it's good for all of April, because you can go April Fools, April Fools. So,
DJ, something for all of us to think about. That's good. Stay online, dear. If you like, send you out some books, some DVDs, and I think you'll enjoy them. Share them with your friends. And again, thanks so much for the call. Always challenging on some of those kinds of ideas. And again, you know, we need to pray that God will establish the righteous, take away the wicked. God bless you, dear. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Chuck, Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Brad, how you doing?
Good. Hello, how may we help?
Hey, Mike, I just finished a book today, and it really had me thinking. It's written by one of the associate pastors at John MacArthur's church. And if I could read just a tiny little bit, if that's okay.
Okay.
It says, the reality is that, like everything in life, God uses our enemies both for our good and his glory. A clear example of this truth is found in 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul begged to take away his thorn in the flesh. The context makes it clear that this thorn was a person who opposed Paul's ministry. And I looked in my Bible, of course, I've read that many times, and I saw where it says, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. I'd never really thought about it being a person. I always think it's his eyesight or something like that. So I was curious what you thought.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, I never, frankly, I've never looked at it from that perspective. I think it was a person. There's nothing that I see scripturally to point specifically towards that in that direction. Thorn in the flesh, I would always, just by the phraseology itself, usually I would think that means something that he had to deal with physically, a shortcoming in terms of an injury or something that he's not skilled with. Some, maybe he was not a great orator. Maybe he stuttered. Maybe he had vision problems. There's a lot of hypotheticals there, but I would not bank on that doctrinally by any means, just because that's just more of a conjecture, I think, at this point.
Yeah, I in fact, I would go so far to reject that, and the reason why is this. Let me, if we look at what the scripture really says, It says a thorn in the flesh. Okay. This is 2 Corinthians 12:7. Lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations, a thorn in the flesh. Now, what's interesting, the word thorn in the Greek is the word tent stake. He says, was given to me a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Well, could it be a person then? Well, at this point, maybe. But as we read on, you're going to quickly see that evaporate. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, very clearly, Paul is recognizing this as a weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. Never that it was a person. So I would have to reject that being, if you look at that in context, and we don't find, it's not worded as if it is a person. He refers to it as an it. If he would have said him, I would have said, well, you know, you might have a little wiggle room there, but he doesn't say that. And we do know that Paul had problems with his eyes. Now, the one place in the scripture, it says, you're gracious. You'd even plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. He writes and he says, see how large of letter I write to you. But the letter isn't a long letter. It was probably describing the size of the letters in that epistle so that they would know that he hand wrote it. Now, again, it appears that it was his eyes that were the problem. And it is, we all know that our infirmities are of the underworld oftentimes. But he asked 3 times for it to be removed. And God simply said, my grace is sufficient for you. He didn't say, so I asked God for some really good words to rebuke this guy that's been troubling me. You don't find that. So I would have to reject that on the grounds of scriptural consistency and being in context. I hope that helps, Chuck.
Well, you know, I had read all those things too, Mike, and that's exactly the way I'd always thought until reading this book when it says it makes it clear that it was a person who opposed him. Then I saw a messenger of Satan to torment me. It made me think, but it also brings me back to the fact that instead of relying on a cool book that I read, I should rely on only the scripture. And so back to that. So thank you. And I must say, the visit that I had there at your studios, everyone was so kind. It was awesome. Got to hear you preach a great message, and I'm very thankful, and CSN is definitely a blessing. So thank you.
Chuck, well, God bless you. And again, if you read verse 10, I think it's pretty important. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. He didn't say I take pleasure in opposition. And an infirmity is something that is within us. Oppression is something that is without us or outside of us. So I would have to say, in looking at this in context, I think that is wrangling scripture. So Chuck, hope that helps. Stay in line if you like. Send you out some books, DVDs. And again, so good to have met you and seen you. And that goes for anybody that's come and visited us in Twin Falls, Idaho at the River Christian Fellowship. It's always a blessing to see our radio family. Chuck, God bless you. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Keith, Bellingham, Washington. Hi, welcome.
Good afternoon, sir. I appreciate you guys' ministry. And my question comes from the book of Ezekiel. We learn about Ezekiel's altar. And my question is, how do we know that he is having a vision of the millennial kingdom and the fact that there's sacrifices happening there? Because it very clearly says that God will accept us after they have done the sacrifice. And I've read that, you know, the sacrifice might be serving as a memorial. But as I said, it very clearly says that God will accept us until after the sacrifices in the temple there in Ezekiel.
Okay, your thoughts.
Yeah, I'm going to pass that one on you, Pastor Mike. Go ahead.
Well, it's almost everyone believes, and again, this is talking about the millennial reign, of course, and that there will be a temple there in Jerusalem during the millennial reign of Christ. Now, it has to be out of memorial because the blood of bulls and goats can never take away your sins. So we have to look then, Keith, at all the verses that pertain to sacrifice and the altar. The blood of bulls and goats does not remove the sin. It can cover it as it did in the Old Testament. It doesn't remove it. And so I believe this is what it's talking about. And again, we have many commemorative things, even in our own country. You have the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, which is guarded by guards, and it's a very hallowed place. And you go in there and pull some shenanigan, they'll arrest you and haul you off. Does the dead people inside the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, do they object to that? No. But it's what it represents. And I believe that, again, this is why we find that outlined the way we do, that for all of time and eternity as a memorial for those that did not know what Jesus Christ did for us, that picture of Old Testament sacrifices and Jesus fulfilling those righteous requirements of the law. Coming up on a break, we'll have more right after this. We'll be right back.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. And maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. See what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
Are you ready to study to show yourself approved? A workman not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? In this sad, lonely, and lost generation, people need help. They need Jesus. And who can present the gospel better than you? Calvary Chapel University wants to be a helper of your joy, so you can go out and make disciples who make disciples. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.edu and apply today, and you'll earn outstanding scholarships. Most of our CCU graduates graduate early or on time, debt-free, and sound doctrinally. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.edu and apply today. Skip Heitzik is one of our faculty members, and David Guzik is not only a board member, but he just earned his Master of Divinity at CCU. Go to calvarychapeluniversity.edu and apply today, and watch God move powerfully in your life.
We want to welcome you back to part two of Every Man Answer on this Friday afternoon with Brad Dacus. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. Brad is from Pacific Justice Institute, and he specializes in representing people like you and me and organizations from unfair, unjust laws. And so I just want to encourage you, if you do have a problem concerning those things, you just want to be sure to contact PJI. And, you know, Brad, you do such a great job in representing all of us from unfair laws, and we see everybody right now in the whole world can see the unfairness in much of our laws, whether it was the phony baloney lawsuit against Donald Trump in New York by a prosecuting attorney who had a vendetta, which is obvious to the entire world, insomuch that even people who have money now do not want to invest in New York any longer because of the ridiculousness of what these people are coming up with. Yet when there's no plaintiff, they make this judgment into these hundreds of millions of dollars, but nobody, what was the story on that? When there's no plaintiff, who do you pay all this money to when there was no one complaining?
Yeah, that's a good question, because this has never happened before under
the
New
history
York
of America.
Yeah, I mean, this is a complete new misapplication of the law. The purpose of the law is when you have a victim from someone making a false representation, a fraudulent representation, to swindle the other side out of a loan, and then things go south, and that bank gets hit with a huge loss because there was a misrepresentation. That's when you have it enforced. There is no one's lost any. The banks made money on the deal. In fact, arguably, it was a fair representation to begin with. So this is it's very conjecture. It's very subjective. Trump's team provided clear evidence supporting the valuations that he presented to the bank when he got the loan. So it's purely political. And what's so dangerous, it's not even just New York. Other states that have that mindset of it's okay to twist the law for our own political purposes is something we all need to watch out for. Colorado, 6 of the 7 justices on that Supreme Court said, yeah, keep him off the ballot because in our opinion, yeah, we think he's helped an insurrection. There was no trial. There was no legal determination of that.
Yeah, he was declared guilty before there was a trial.
Yeah, I mean,
he was never convicted of anything, and these unfair judges did that.
Yeah, 6 of the 7 Supreme Court justices for the state of Colorado, and the Supreme Court slapped him hard and said, absolutely not. And yet they're not the only state. There's a number of states that tried to pull this. So we see a grotesque misuse of our legal system, our justice system, and people need to be very careful because if this is as established precedent, then we're going to see this kind of misuse of the law by district attorneys and others from the other political side, or perhaps they got paid off by someone that's against you. And it's a major disincentive for people to ever run for office, because if the other side has the political party on their side, who's a district attorney or maybe an attorney general of a state, and you're running for office, and they can use that to find lawsuits and ways to try to discredit you and tie down your resources and have you have to give up all your savings that you were going to use for running for office. Instead, you have to give it up in a bail for no victimized party. This is the kind of travesty. This could happen to any American. And that's why we need to say no. We need to preserve our constitutional rights of due process, equal opportunity under the law, and the opportunity for all of us to not only vote for who we wish, but also to run for office if we wish, without having to fear being bombarded as if we're in some banana republic, Putin's Russia or Castro's Cuba.
So, yep, we just want to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Going back to the phone, we have Ron on the line, Norfolk, Nebraska. Hi, welcome.
Hi. With listening to everything you guys have been saying and everything going on in our world, it's just crazy. You can't even keep up with everything that's going on. And I have so many people say, how come the other side, the left, how come they don't see all this stuff going on? And, you know, the only thing that I can think of is that we are living in a Romans 1 scenario where God has given them a reprobate minds. And I just wanted to know what you say. Do you think that's correct, or is there something else I don't know?
No, I don't know how anybody thinks that a person, a man, can put on a dress, change his name to a woman's name, and compete in women's sport, take all the first place trophies, get scholarships just by simply a man putting on a dress saying he's a girl. This, to me, shows how absolutely insane America has become. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, actually, when he was saying that, I was turning to Romans 1. So he sort of beat me to the point. But the scripture is really clear, not just that God gave them over to a depraved or delusional mind to do that which is not proper, but the predicate to that is specifically what we're talking about here in terms of transgenders, you know, men taking on the way of women, the natural function of a woman, and it's homosexuality. This is just that whole perversion of that scripture, and then the results of it is very decisive and very clear in verse 28. So, you know, we need to understand that this is, I think, a fulfillment of this, and it's I think it should be a wake-up call to all of us to take our faith all the more seriously for the fact that this is evidence, I believe, of the coming of Christ. And then, you know, we need to we're seeing things that we have not seen since the days of Noah. I mean, this is, in my perspective, an indicator of what we need to be paying attention to as we look to Christ, not as we wallow in despair for what's happening, but as we look to Christ and his coming.
So I hope that answers it for you, Ron. I think we're there. And I think, unfortunately for all of us, we're witnessing a death of a nation, the United States. Our freedoms are rapidly evaporating as quickly as they can. They're just, the Bill of Rights is completely under attack. And like I said, as you said, Brad, if they do this to a president, what they're doing to Donald Trump, where does that leave all of us? When they twist laws, make stuff up, you're guilty before you were ever tried. This is where the Supreme Court justices in Colorado erred horribly. You're innocent till proven guilty. They did all these evil things without him ever being convicted of anything. And so that shows you just how sick, as an example, Colorado's laws are with you. When you have people that are controlling people, this bias, you're not going to get a fair trial in Colorado when you see this kind of stuff going on. And so understanding that you have these crazies now running the show is really crazy. Again, they declared Joe Biden mentally incompetent to stand trial for having top secret documents when he was vice president that it was illegal for him to have, and they declared him to be mentally incompetent to stand trial. But yet he can be the president and run for president again. Logically, you'd say these people are nuts, and they are. We have been turned over. And people have asked me, well, do you fear them? I go, no, what I really fear more than anything is an American populace that will vote people like this into office. When you can't stack two bricks on top of each other, logically, you can see that something here is wrong. And by the way, so by the way, Attorney Brad, where did the crime go for Joe Biden having top secret documents, which they raided? See, here's the order of business that we all need to remember. The documents of Joe Biden were found by somebody in his own party, and it was brought to attention. They quickly had to do something, so they did a raid on Mar-a-Lago on Donald Trump. And then this way, the information, the news gets all convoluted. Who did what? Oh, yeah, they're all doing it. That kind of an idea was what's going on. However, they're grinding Trump to a pulp, which by law, he was legal to have those documents, where by law, Joe Biden is still a criminal. Now, here's the problem. Declared mentally incompetent. So where did the crime go? You know, Brad, is this the way law now is? So if there was a way you could go into prisons and declare people to be mentally incompetent, or those awaiting trial mentally incompetent, their crime just magically vanishes. Wow, what a deal.
Right.
Can you tell us how they're able to do this where the crime was committed? He knew what he was doing at the time. Right. The proof is there. This isn't made up. This isn't mega. No, it's a fact.
Right.
But where's the American news media on this? Why isn't this on our pages every day? Because the American news media is as rotten as this party is. That's all it can be. Because why would you cover up these important things like this? And not to mention Hunter Biden's laptop, hiding all this stuff from the American people and focusing upon, look over here, don't look at the real issues. Look over somewhere else. Brad, how does these crimes like Joe's just vanish because you're declared mentally incompetent? I don't understand that.
Yeah, you shouldn't understand it because it's not in agreement with the standard basics of criminal law and criminal prosecution. The key question is, did he do an illegal act? Yes, he did. He was vice president. Vice presidents do not have the authority to take such records, confidential, top secret documents, and for their own purpose and for their own, at their own residence to take those things. That's number one. Did he do something illegal? Yes. Number two, did he know that he was doing something illegal? Yes, that's indisputable on the record. He knew what he was doing was illegal and he concealed it for that purpose. So the fact that years later he's supposedly mentally not able to remember things is irrelevant. Did he know what he was doing when he did it? It's sort of like a Nazi war criminal. And they finally, after a number of decades, they catch him. And the question isn't, well, gosh, is he old enough? Is he too old to really remember everything? No. All you have to do is, did this person do the act that was illegal? Yes. Did he know at the time it was illegal? Yes. Case closed, prosecute, guilty, put it behind bars, or whatever. So that's the question here. Now, we had a special prosecutor brought in because the Department of Justice is under the Biden administration. So there's a clear conflict there of interest. So to remain above reproach, they have a special prosecutor who's to examine it and then make the determination whether there should be prosecution. That special prosecutor was way out of line. Professors, constitutional law professors across the country are shaking their heads. Prosecutors are shaking their heads saying, where is he coming from? Except for the fact that maybe there was some kind of pressure for him to find a way not to to recommend the prosecuting of President Biden. And there's all kinds of conspiracies, you know, speculations I won't get into. But we know one thing. His conclusion was inaccurate. It was not sound by law or case law or standard practices for prosecution. And it was a clear injustice. On the other hand, President Donald Trump, he was president at the time he took those documents to his private place. He has that privilege to do so. He also has the privilege to no longer classify those documents, to declassify them. That's his whims. He has the authority to have done that while president, and arguably, as his legal staff says he did. So it's not. And also, is there any kind of a personal benefit? And did he in any way use those documents to betray the United States, the people of the United States, our national sovereignty, et cetera? No, in no way, shape, or form. So the bias is there, the injustice is there, the misapplication of law is there, and hopefully the American people will resoundingly respond to this injustice come this November.
Yeah, because, again, we're going to get more injustice if we don't wake up and, as the old saying goes, smell the coffee. Well, let's go back to the phones. Ron, again, I hope that answers it for you.
Yep, thank you. Just remember, he came as a lamb and he's coming back as a lion, and I can't wait.
Amen. No more funny business, man. I'll tell you, God made a wonderful world, and it's men's perversion that has gotten it into the state that it's in. Sad. Stay on the line, Ron. We'll get you out some books, some DVDs. Let's go to Daryl, Reno, Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hi there, Mike. I have a question that came up this afternoon. I was talking to an atheist, and he brought a question up I hadn't been confronted with before. What kind of sacrifice is it for God to send his only son to death on the cross when he knew he could bring him back to life?
Well, again, God doesn't learn. And I think this is something that we always have to remember. God knew. Jesus dying on the cross was not for God. Jesus dying on the cross was for us. And that we would all see what Jesus... This is how heinous sin is mankind to God. As Jesus was beaten and bruised and hung on a cross for our sins. You see, it isn't for our knowledge or his knowledge. It's for our knowledge. This is the same reason people have asked the question, well, if God ultimately knows who's going to make it to heaven and those that aren't, why do we go through this zoo we call living? It's not for God's knowledge. It's for ours. There's not one person that's going to be in heaven that goes, man, I don't know how I got here. No, every person that has come to Christ will understand how they got there, that they were a sinner, they were saved by grace, they looked at what Jesus did for them, accepted what Jesus did for them, and then they have everlasting life. The problem is that we think that a lot of times we're going to get to heaven and we're just going to have our memories blanked out. We're not going to remember anything that went on in this planet. Not so. In fact, it is so severe, evidently still in heaven, that in the New Jerusalem, this river where it says there's a tree, has leaves year round, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations. What in the world is healing of the nations doing in the future? Well, I believe that people need to be healed. I believe there are prejudices that people will carry until God gets it out of us. You see, we need to see this life, this world, through God's eyes. Well, we see that through his word, through the Bible. But when we don't know his word, we see it through our own eyes, and it goes back to the old sin nature. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. You did it to me, I'm going to do it to you. This is where the problems always come from. We need to see it the way God sees it. And so it's interesting, in heaven, there's a tree for the healing, the leaves are for the healings of the nations. Your thoughts, Brad?
Yeah, to go along with what you said, just because God had foreknowledge to the final victory of the pain and burden that Christ would bear, in no way minimizes the extent of the pain and the burden that Christ did bear on the cross and in the grave. So that, I think, is the answer to that. Just because God knows that in the end, there will be victory, that does in no way mitigates the reality of the pain or the depth and breadth of the burden that Christ bore on the cross with regards to bearing our sins, and the culpability that came with that, that crucifixion. The crucifixion wasn't just him feeling pain. It was also, dying and bearing the guilt, of all the sin of the world. And so that cannot be in any way minimized or diluted with the fact that God knew, had foreknowledge of the final outcome and the final victory that would take place.
So I hope that helps.
It was wonderful. Thank you so much. I've never been blindsided like that before. And this kid was he's not a kid, he's 52. Brilliant, brilliant young man. And when he came up with that, I thought, well, I'm not really sure how to answer that. But thank you so much. I appreciate you guys so much.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to a guy one time. I've shared this a lot, but I was talking to a guy like that, atheist, and he says, you mean to tell me you base your life off of everything the Bible says? And I said, well, based upon your question, you base your life on something. What do you base your life on? He was speechless. I think a lot of times if we listen to them, they'll tell us what's going on. So again, I would just go back and say, oh, it isn't that God didn't know that Jesus was going to raise from the dead. Jesus all along said he was going to raise from the dead. You know, it's interesting. When you study, it says that the disciples did not yet understand that Jesus must raise from the dead. However, when you study what the Pharisees said, we want guards posted by the tomb because he said in 3 days he'll rise from the dead. They were scared Jesus was going to come back to life. The Pharisees, the enemy, understood Jesus was probably going to come back to life. But it's funny, his own disciples didn't catch it. And this oftentimes, you know, they say, well, it was because they're going to come steal his body or whatever. I don't think that was completely what they were worried about. I think they had saw enough of Jesus's miracles. They saw enough of Jesus's power that they were scared. And it is interesting to me that oftentimes the enemy will reveal how effective you are more than we even know ourselves. In fact, in the book of Acts, it says, and these men have filled this whole town with their doctrine. Really? Well, that coming from the other side, that's quite a compliment. They have filled our town with their doctrine. Wow, you think about that. Sometimes, you know, the devil will let you know how effective you are by the attacks he brings upon those that love him. Hope that helps, Daryl. Stay online. I'll send you out some books, some DVDs, okay?
Thank you so much. You guys, God bless you.
Blessings to you. Let's go to Clissa in Susanville, California. Hi, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How may we help?
Well, I'm calling because I don't really have a question. I'm calling because it's kind of a follow-up. I called you guys about a year. Pacific Justice Institute was on. And about 4 years before that, I had lost my grandchildren to Arkansas's DHS foster care CPS system. And then my sister stepped up and got them. And then out of the blue, they showed up one day and took them again back to Arkansas. And we live in California. So I just want people to know, I mean, it was such a struggle. It's such a fight. They lie. I'm sorry, but they are evil. And they're after families. They are an evil system. And I just want people to not give up. We got our children back. And my sister, praise God, was able to adopt them. And now they're back in our family. They're safe. They're home with us. And I'm telling you, I stayed on my knees and we fought hard. So if you have lost your kids for no good reason and you are a good family, don't give up. And right. I just wanted to thank you because I called in and I talked with Brad. And I mean, it was just so horrible when they took them away the second time. It was just devastating. And I want people to know that God answers prayers.
Yes, you know, I remember that, Clarissa. I remember the call. And Brad, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm glad she shared that because so many around the country, Christians in particular, are totally oblivious to this huge risk of losing their children and having their children taken by social workers, you know, for bogus reasons, for unsubstantiated reasons. Most kids that are taken, in fact, according to Department of Health and Human Services, by study, I think during the Obama administration, even if they're from a moderately abusive home, are actually better off staying with that family than being traumatized and taken and put with people and strangers that have a different worldview from a Christian worldview. We have something on our website. I highly recommend every family to download it, and it's called you know, what to do when or how to protect your children from CPS. Or child protective services, the same as social workers. It's called different things in different states. How to protect your children from CPS. You can download that for free on our website, pji.org, pji.org. I highly, highly recommend that because when the social workers knock on your door or they call you, usually don't have much time at all to respond. And this tells you what you need to say and do to keep your children from being taken. It's very effective. Once the kids are taken, it's a nightmare. And this woman knows that. And it's a very, very difficult time because of the lack of due process in most states across the country, particularly blue states that have less respect for parental rights. But even red states, there's tremendous need for reform in many.
So, Clarissa, thank you so much for calling in. You know, it's always good to hear the response of how God answers prayers, that our programming is effective to help all of us do a better job for our King. and to protect our families. And so, again, we're all out of time. Brad, I just want to say thank you so much for being on.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Thank you, Mike.
If you need to contact Brad, pji.org. And again, we got a lot of people online. Please just call us back on Monday. We'll put you on first thing. Have a safe, blessed weekend. God bless you. Good night.
Today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.